Alan. Alan. Lots of Alans running around today. Candace, where's Candace? Candace, I'm not sure whether we can learn that song, but that song, Candace, Joel, would be awesome for us to sing, since that's our theme this year. Maybe we could get a hold of that and learn it and sing it in church. What a catchy little tune. Well, Vision Sunday, always a big day, an exciting day for us as a church to really put out there who we are as a church. You know, the fact is, in terms of this theme that we have this year, it's just straight Bible, because the Bible says that Jesus called us as his followers and as his disciples to lay our lives down. Laying your life down for the cause of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus, is going all in. He gave it all, he laid it all down, and he calls every single follower of himself to lay down their life if they want to pursue him. So we're really just talking Bible to us over the next few weeks particularly. What I'm going to do is lay out over the next few weeks the kind of church that we are, how we do this church journey. Some of it's going to be kind of a repeat for some of us in terms of that, but then other stuff. We're just going to give it a real good... Now, here's a challenging thought for some of the guys particularly, but the girls will get this term probably more so than the guys. We're just going to zoosh it up. And I'm not quite sure whether I've said that totally right, but just go with me on that. It's kind of like when you're at the hairdresser and you want to give something a new look, and you walk into a barber or a hairdresser and they say, "What do you want?" And they say, "Oh, just work your magic. Just work your magic." In other words, just give me a bit of a zhoosh. And was that closer? Give me a zhoosh and just tease it and make it look amazing. Well, that's what we've done this year in terms of our vision. We've kind of altered some of the terminology and the words to make it a little bit more community friendly in the way that we present that and talk that through. And so today I'm going to present that for us all. Today is going to contain quite a little bit of information in terms of what we're doing this year, what we're focusing on, and what we're doing financially. And so you need to get your phone out and punch some stuff into your phone as we go through this presentation together. So today, for me as the lead pastor, and for Cheryl and our team, it's really one of the most important days and weekends and months of the year as we really launch into the future of our church. It's important because we're affirming today who we are. We're affirming today who we are. You know, every now and then you've got to affirm who you are in your own world, your own identity, your own family, and certainly in your own church. You've got to affirm who you are. So we're going to do that today. We're going to remind ourselves of why we're here. We're going to describe who we're called to be, and we're going to have a glimpse of the future of our church. So firstly, I want to give you five reasons why vision is very important and why we do a day like today. Why is vision important? Vision is important, number one, because vision is key to progress. Vision is key to progress. The Bible says, without vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. The people perish is what it says. And so without vision, there's no progress. Habakkuk, the prophet, wrote this about vision when God told him these instructions. God said, write the vision, make it plain, so that those who read it can run with it. If we're going to run with it, it's got to be clear. If we're going to run with it, it needs to be plain. If we're going to run with it, it needs to be recorded. So I'm going to deliver it today so that we can run. Are you ready to run? Do I have any runners in the room? We used to have that happen in church life. I'm not sure you remember that, where people would literally just run around the building. But I'm not asking you to do that today. I'm asking you to run out there with it, is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be a runner of the vision that we have together as a church, because vision is key to progress. Secondly, where there is no vision, there is die vision. Die, not division, die vision. It's a little bit of a play on words. In other words, we perish, we die individually and corporately without vision. And you see that right across the land. You see where churches have closed and buildings are sold, where there's been the death of a vision, there has been die vision. And where there is no vision, it literally dies. There's a death that's on the place when there is no vision. Proverbs 29:18 said, where there is no vision, the people cast off
restraint. In other words, they lay down in life, they give up, they live aimlessly. Without vision, we lack purpose, and we certainly lack a sense of going somewhere, a sense of direction. For me, what vision does is vision adds life to life. It adds life to life. Jesus promises to give us abundant life, and I think that's what the God vision, the prophetic word of God, does for us, is it brings a real sense of life to our lives. Thirdly, vision accelerates our devotion. It accelerates our devotion. Now, we've all got levels of devotion. We've all got a place that we are in terms of our devotedness to God and also His church. But what vision does is it really accelerates that sense of devotion for an individual, for a couple, for a family, and certainly for a church. Once again, Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. In other words, he says, we live undisciplined lives, we live unfocused lives, we live unfruitful lives when we lack a sense of vision and purpose. In other words, we waste the gift that's on our life. We waste the talent, we waste the time, and we waste the treasure that God blesses us with. Now, we all are well aware today that Christ loves us individually. Individually. Every single one of us are loved passionately by God. But not only does God love us individually, He also loves us collectively as the church. Collectively as the church, there's no doubt that heaven has a great heart and a great hope and a great commitment and a great love for the church. The truth is, God's church is part of His answer for the world that we live in. It's literally the plan of God. It is the plan of God for the earth. Now, when we think of God's house and our devotion, it could be said that for some, the devotion level is at a lower level than it really should be, and God wants to pick it up. And I think that the reason often that our lives get into a low level of devotion is that we get so caught up living our individual lives. Our individual lives and our individual relationship with Jesus, which is nice and important. God wants us to live that individual devotion. And God wants us to have our individual lives that are really blessed and favored by Him. But there's something powerful that happens when we come together collectively. Collectively, as one, there's something significant and powerful that happens. And so can I encourage you today to make a decision to not live at a low level of devotion, but to up the ante and have a high level of devotion to God and His house and to the gift that's upon your life that's given for the building of His church. Anyone in for that today? Anyone all in for that today? Let's be all in for that thought today. Do you know the fact is when you're devoted to something, you adjust your schedules. When you're devoted to something, you invest your life. When you're devoted to something, you sacrifice, you contribute financially. You have a giving plan. You're connected into the things that are important. Like for us as a church, connect groups. They're really important as to how we do church. And part of the journey as our church is the connect group strategy that we have and that we intend to roll out this year. And so devoted people, they lock into those kinds of things. They serve on a team and they build with their sense of devotion. So vision accelerates devotion. Fourthly, vision stirs our faith. It stirs our faith. When we embrace vision, the truth is anything's possible. Anything's possible. You know, the truth is with God, anything is possible. I grew up in a church that didn't have screens like this with, you know, the big projection. I grew up in a church that had an overhead projector. Anyone remember the overhead projector days? Yeah, the overhead projector days. And in our church, you know, as I just said, we couldn't have the big wide screens. So we had like a plaque that was up there. And it was on the wall of our church. And it said, "This is anything impossible for the Lord? Is anything impossible for the Lord?" So every single Sunday, every time we went to church as a congregation sitting there, we were looking at that. every Sunday we were reminded, is anything impossible for the Lord? It's ingrained in my heart. It's ingrained in my mind. I see it constantly. I love it. Is anything impossible for the Lord? Vision, what vision does is it feeds that thought. Faith feeds that thought that nothing is impossible for the Lord. And so when it comes to our impossibilities, anyone got some impossibilities right now? Come on, put your hand up if you've got some impossibilities. I've got some impossibilities. We've got some impossibilities. Our church has some impossibilities. If you don't have some impossibilities, you're not trying hard enough. Anyone else in the room have some impossibilities right now? Some things that are beyond you. That's how life is. Often things are just beyond us. I can't do it. I can't achieve it. I can't afford it. I can't be it. I can't. And it screams at us sometimes. You know what faith does? Faith says you can. Faith helps you to believe and hope and stretch for the fact that just maybe you could do that. Faith is really seeing things that are not as if they already exist, as if they already are. And there's a sense as a church that we might be here today in a sense of, you know, our size and our empowerment and our capacity. But unless we see us in a bigger place, unless we see us with an increased capacity, unless we see God doing something bigger, we will always be at this level. And it's only the devil that wants you to stay at this level. We need to see things beyond what we currently are. That's the word of faith. That's what faith does. Vision stirs our faith. So let's lift our faith today. And then lastly, but this is not the conclusion of my sermon, so don't get excited. Lastly, vision brings us together. Vision brings us together. Heaven's vision brings us together. The calling out of the kingdom of darkness to follow Jesus, and then Jesus putting us in His church, and this being His expression of church right here for us. There's churches all over the nation that are His church. It's across every denomination and abomination, His church. And doesn't matter what the flag is out the front, what the style is from the stage, how trendy it is or how old it is, it doesn't matter. If they love Jesus passionately and believe in Jesus, they are His church. Vision brings us together. It brings us together. It unites us, and it also binds us. Here's the beautiful thing about the church. Have a look around the room and see the diversity of the people in this room. Have a look, check them out. Check out the diversity of people in this room. We've got kids, we've got, you know, diversity of age, we've got teenagers, we've got young ones, we've got mature age ones, we've got old ones, we've got all sorts of ones in this building right now. We have people from all nations of the world in this room right now. We have tradesmen, we have non-tradesmen, we have students, we have professional people, we have managers, they are also professional people, we have business owners, we have all sorts of people with a whole sense of diversity in this room today. A diversity of background, a diversity of experience, a diversity of skill, a diversity of whatever you want to call it. And the beautiful thing about the church is God brings it all together. He brings it all together. And in our diversity, we find a sense of unity and being bound together by the Spirit of God, bringing the different ages, the different generations together, the different strengths, the different experiences, even the different personalities. Think of the personalities in this room. The differences. We're not all the same. We're different. We've got some people that shine with people. We've got others that shy away from people. We've got some people that love doing tasks and other people that don't like tasks. We've got all kinds of mixes of personality preferences in this room. But in all of that mixture, we're family. In all of that mixture, there's a beautiful strength that unifies us all together. You know what vision does? It gets us all on the same page. It gets us all on the same page, on the same bus, traveling in the same direction. Is what vision does. The beautiful thing about unity is this, is unity is a place that God dwells in. Unity is a place that God pours out His blessing in, is what unity is. Psalm 133 says it this way. It says, behold how good, how pleasant it is when the brothers, that's non-gender, brothers and sisters, dwell together in unity. It says this, for there the Lord commands His blessing, life forever more. Not even that God allows his blessing. Not even that it just flows naturally. It says that's the place where God will command the blessing. And so vision rallies people to have a sense of unity and a sense of oneness. So let me talk to you about who we are as a church. We used to call this our vision statement. We now call it who we are as opposed to vision statement. Who we are as a church. We empower people. We empower people to keep advancing, and we consider everyone, and we express life that encourages those around us to move forward. That's what we're here for as a church. We are here to help people move forward in their lives. And so to unpack that, the church that we see today is a church that's advancing. That's what the church is. I see a church that advances. I'm not called, you're not called, we're not called to hold the fort. We're not just not hanging on like F Troop. How many of you remember F Troop? If you're old enough to remember F Troop, you can see it in your mind right now. The guys up in the water tower, the guard tower, as it collapses and falls over, and the troopers running everywhere, just holding the fort, keeping the Indians out. We're not here to hold the fort. We're here to build the kingdom of God. And so the church is called to advance. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church we see is a church that is advancing. So we will be vision-fueled and faith-filled, vision-fueled and faith-filled and always moving forward. That means there's always challenge for us to press on, do more. There's always challenge for us to get involved. There's always challenge for us to give hope and help wherever we can. We are committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. We make a commitment to the cause of the kingdom of God. And I think it's an insult to heaven for us to be casual about the mission that he's given the church right across the nations of this world. It's an insult to heaven for us to be casual about that, so we won't be. It's an insult for us to be passive about that, so we're not going to be passive. We refuse to become apathetic or content to stay where we are. We want to always be seeing it as something that moves forward. It's an insult to God and who he has called every one of us to be, as individuals and collectively, for us not to think of a bigger, brighter future for the church and for the kingdom of God. So we're called. We're called to bring help, and we're called to bring hope to as many people as possible. We are literally the hands and the heart of Jesus to a world that needs to hear the life-giving message of Jesus. So we're here to advance and build. Anyone all in for that today? That's what we're here for. We're here to go all in to advance and build the church of Jesus Christ. The church we see is a church that considers everyone. A church that considers everyone. So we will be generous in gesture. That means we'll be kind. That means we'll be welcoming. That means we'll provide an environment that says, come on in, you belong. That's the environment and the culture that we want to create and have within our house. So we'll be generous in gesture, and we will affirm everyone as someone deeply loved by God. Everyone as someone that's deeply loved by God. So we're generous in gesture, we're generous indeed as a church. We will celebrate people from diverse backgrounds, from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. We will celebrate the diversity of people who are like-minded, one in spirit, and united in purpose with us. And we as a church will live approved by God. We will live approved by God. We will honor up, down, and all around. Meaning we honor God, we honor people everywhere. No matter where they are, we will bring honor to people around us so they can feel the value and the approval that God has. We will honor the mature. We will honor our elders is what we will do. We will recognize them and we will value them. We will not discard them or displace them, but we will hold them with the correct weight and honor that they truly deserve. We will honor our young ones because they deserve to be honored also. We will honor our pastors and we will honor our leaders at all levels because the Bible commands us to honor those that lead in every way. We will cheer people on in life. We will celebrate with people and we will celebrate each other. The Bible says we're a body. It says when one part hurts, it all hurts. If you don't believe that, someone come out here now and I'll wring your nose. And I'll show you that when one part hurts, you hurt all over. You do. It's killing you when that happens. And likewise, it says, when one part rejoices, we all rejoice. That means we'll celebrate. We'll cheer each other on. We will have generational leadership in our church. Generational leadership. That means we will have young and old working together at all levels of leadership. At our senior levels of leadership, we will have young and we will have old holding hands together, having generational leadership. Not only will we have generational leadership, we will have male and female leadership because we believe in the leadership of both male and female in our church is what we believe in. And so we want to take the cap off. We want to take the lid off that sometimes is placed upon women in church life so that women can be in leadership as much as men can be in leadership. We believe not only in generational leadership, but we also believe in an equality of leadership. The church we see is a church that expresses life. A church that expresses life. In other words, we will be life-giving. Life-giving as a church. Expressive as we have been today. Passionate as we have been today in our worship. And also in our connect group, the way that we get together during the week and we connect in our small groups. So our worship is a celebration. Our worship is a place where we do what the Bible says. We lift our hands, we clap our hands, we bow our knee, we dance if we want to dance, we sing, we participate. This is not a concert. This is not a concert. If we want a concert, you go somewhere where they put on a concert. And they have big lights and big show and big performers and you pay big money. This is participation. This is engagement with heaven. This is our moment to lift our hands and sing with all of our heart, no matter how ugly you sing. Nobody cares how bad you sing in this church when you're down there. When you're up here, we care. Because we got to listen to you. But down there, you can sing your heart out. And we want you to sing your heart out to worship God in a life-giving, expressive, and passionate way. Why? Because we believe God deserves our best. We believe God deserves our best in terms of that. So we are loud and proud. We are loud and we are proud and we are responsive. And we are encouraging and we are exciting. Anyone exciting in the room today? We are exciting and we are full of life and we are extravagant in our generosity, not just in our finances, but in our love and commitment to each other is how we live. In our connect groups, we're passionate about being small. We are passionate about being big. We're also passionate about being small. Small church is healthy church. Small church is where we disciple people. And so our connect groups, they function and they meet during the week, normally on a Tuesday or a Thursday evening. We do have one that meets on a Friday and they meet fortnightly. A connect group is 6 to 12 people that meet in circles. In other words, a circle is symbolic of someone's home. They meet in someone's home or a cafe. And they meet for the purpose of connecting and getting to know each other, to have a place where you could care for people and you could share the journey with people. It's a place to be known and it's a place to know others. Our connect groups are the strategy that we have as a church to help every one of us grow in our faith. Because at connect groups, you get to discuss. On Sundays, I get to instruct. On Tuesdays and Thursdays when we do Connect Group, we all get to interpret and apply and discuss either what we've talked about on Sundays or here's a new exciting venture that we're doing this year. We're going to introduce some special campaigns during our Connect Groups this year. meaning that one or two terms this year we'll have a focus of all in, where we all focus on the same kind of curriculum. And so we're launching next week. Is it next week? We're launching next week in terms of our connect groups, not this Tuesday, Thursday, but the next week. We're launching with the theme of all in. That's this Tuesday night. I'm getting mad signals from down the back. I'm made of blue. This Tuesday and Thursday night, all in is our curriculum this year. It won't be what we're preaching on Sundays. We took the name from it. But what you're going to do in Connect Groups is, for the first time, we're going to have a little DVD that'll play from Pastor Mark Batterson from Washington, D.C., who put this curriculum together about living a devoted life to Jesus Christ. And so it's interactive. We'll ask some questions around it and just discuss it together. And we're taking the whole church on a journey. We don't want you to miss out. And so what I'm asking for you to do today is, if you don't belong to a Connect group, to please consider. Would you turn to your neighbor and beg right now? Go like this and go, please consider. Please consider. With little cat's eyes like the cat of Zorro. Please consider. Please consider. Please consider joining a Connect group. We'd love you to sign up today. We've got a special area, a Connect table, at the back of the hall, right in front of the sound desk. Go down there. You'll see the profiles of each of the Connect group leaders. Don't pick on popularity or best looking. Just pick a group that works for you. If you want to go around and find one, then by all means, do that. If you're not currently in a group and you'd like to start one and be a Connect group leader, or you'd like to host one in your home, could you please also speak to the person at the table? We'll take your expression of interest and we'll work towards that happening for you and show you how to create a Connect group. So the thought is to help us all move in the same direction, to be on the same page, to get on the same bus so that we arrive at the same destination. We don't want our Connect groups doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that and all these wonderful things that we can do. There's strength in unity, there's power in alignment and power in agreement, and focus brings power. And so we're focusing this first term on this whole thought of going all in for Jesus. And so we're asking you as a church leadership to lock into a Connect group, because that's where we do our discipleship. That's where it really happens. That's where you get to love on each other and really care and share and pray for each other. I walked out of the room one night in our Connect group because I was preparing communion, and we were going to have communion because we have communion sometimes in our Connect groups. We have potluck dinners and all that kind of thing, and we're having communion one night, and I walked out of the room and just left the group and said, look, why don't you just pray. We just pray for each other. So I left the room for 5 or 10 minutes while the Connect group were doing that. And I came back in. And when I came back in, I saw somebody over here laying hands on somebody and praying for them about their circumstance, their situation that they were going through. And it was just such a powerful moment of just God working and God caring and God sharing through the people that were gathering to pray for each other in that moment. I'm thinking, where else does that happen? Where else does that happen? And we need to create environments where it can happen. And it happens best in circles, in homes, where we're relaxed and we're in a small group. Because sometimes this is a bit intimidating for people, but in a home, it's nice and friendly. So let's sign up today for a Connect group if you're not currently in a Connect group. Everyone say all in, all in, all in, all in, all in for connecting and getting involved and doing what we do together in our Connect group strategy. So what we do used to be called our mission statement. It's unchanged what we do in terms of our mission statement. This is what our what we do statement is. Impact Church exists to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We don't have any other message. We have the life-giving message of Jesus, teaching people to live fully devoted to God and His house. That's the gospel. Teaching people to live fully devoted to God and His house. So we are here to reach and we are here to teach. And the making of disciples is the highest priority that we have as a team and as a church. And so when you join a team in our church, part of that team process is that you would go on a discipleship journey with us. You belong to a Connect group.
You'd come to equip leaders' nights so that we can disciple you in life and in the way we're doing this Christian journey of following Jesus together, so that we make the last command of Jesus our absolute first priority. The last command of Jesus, our absolute first priority. And so the way we do discipleship is in our connect group strategy. Our connect group strategy is how we do discipleship in our church, where we do church in circles, not just rows. That's what we do. How we live was our old culture statement. So rather than saying these are our cultures, what we're saying is this is how we live as a church. And so here's a statement to prelude it all. It says this: with Christ at the centre, he has to be, with Christ at the centre, we move life forward relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. That's what we mean by moving life forward. We want to move people forward in every area of life so they grow into wholeness in all of these areas. So how we live is this, is we include, not exclude. We include. We are includers, not excluders. So we want atmospheres that include people. We want atmospheres that are inviting and welcoming to people in our children's ministry, Big church ministry here, in our connect groups, in our youth ministry, what we do with young royals on a Friday night. If you have teenagers in your house, high schoolers in your house, get them to young royals. It's 12 to 20 years of age on a Friday night, 7 p.m. here at church. Make sure you bring them here. Whatever the cost to you, it's going to be well worth your time, energy, effort and money and resource to make sure you get your kids here to set them up for a good life. And so that's every Friday night. What we do with young adults, YA crew, is that what we call YA crew, led by Shannon and Megan, and the ministry that they do for our young adults that are in church, that's to help disciple them also and move life forward. We want to include people in our youth and in our young adults and in our women's and in our men's and in all of our church expressions and environments. We are includers, not excluders. Secondly, how we live. We honour up, we honour down, we honour all around. We will work a culture of honour within the life of our church, in every expression and atmosphere within our church. How we live, we celebrate. We're a church that celebrates. That's why we're loud and proud in our praise and in our worship. We are life-giving, we are expressive, and we are passionate in our worship. So I want you to come ready for that when you come to church. Come ready for your church expression and worship experience. And then how we live, we invite. We invite people. So we focus on people that are not yet here. We focus on people that aren't here yet. And we invite and we bring people. Can I encourage you to become a great inviter? Invite the people in your world to your church. Invite the people in your world to Jesus Christ. Invite the people in your world to come and hear the good news and to taste and see, like the Bible says, that the Lord is good. Invite and bring, and you'll be amazed and surprised at what God will do. And then finally, with how we live, we prepare. We prepare. We're not a church that doesn't prepare. We prepared for you to come today. We've had people preparing and cooking over the weekend, here all day Saturday, here Friday, making preparation for the hospitality that you're about to enjoy. The people that are on our stage, they prepare, they practice, they're primed up, they're ready to go and do what they do. You have people running all around the hall today who are serving, and they're our service teams, and they have prepared. They've been here early this morning, and they have set time aside to prepare the room for all of us to enjoy a God moment and a God experience. Everybody that's involved in our church, in terms of leadership and teens, get this, that our responsibility is to prepare the room. Because when people come to our church, we want them to know that we were expecting them. Have you ever had a pastor stand up in the pulpit and say, well, I'm really not prepared today. I've got nothing prepared. I've heard them say that and I thought, well, it's time for me to leave. If you've got nothing prepared, I don't belong here. And that's always been my thought. I love preparation. So when I come to stage, I come to stage prepared. When I host a meeting, I'm prepared. If you come to my place for dinner, we're prepared. Nothing worse than going to someone's place for dinner and you get there and there's nothing cooking. And you're sitting having small talk and conversation. And what are we eating? That's all I want to know. What's on the menu? I want to know what's there. I like you, but I don't like you that much. I just want, what's the food? You want to know they're cooking. And you want to know that with church. You want to know there's something cooking. Something cooking. You want to be able to smell it. And you walk in and they're just prepared for you. They're ready for you. Lowest level is never good enough. We've got to press and make sure we are people that prepare. So what we value. This used to be called our value statement. You'll find these in a little brochure in front of you. There's a brochure called our next step path. Our next step path. I'd love for you to take it home. Keep it at home. Keep it on the fridge. It explains our strategy for building people in all areas of life around our values of belong, believe, become, and build. So the first one, what we value? Belong. We value growing connection. We really want people to belong in church and have a sense of belonging. Have a sense of it's your church. It's not my church. It's our church together. So it's your church to have a real sense of belonging. So to help people with that, there's several things we encourage them to do. Firstly, our starting point dinner. To get involved and come and have dinner, hear about the church so that we can embrace the church together and know what we are embracing. And then become a regular attender. Plan to be here like all of us do and most of us do. Plan to be here as a regular commitment to building the church and join a connect group. That's how you develop a sense of belonging in church life. And so we want to be a church that values the sense that we all belong. Secondly, we want to be a church that values a sense of believe, that I should grow in my faith. We need to grow in our faith and our expression of discipleship. We need to learn more about God and get closer to God. And so to help us with that, Sundays help with that through the engagement of the Word of God and worship. Our Next Steps courses on a Wednesday evening also help with that. And out of that, like doing a new Christians course, we would pray that people would get baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. We pray for both of those experiences to happen for us so that we can really be set free. And then we'll teach leadership courses and life courses and all kinds of courses just to help us. One of the most important ones is a network course, which teaches us about how we belong in church life in terms of our gifts and our passion and our personality and how we can most effectively serve God. And so we'll be talking to you more about that during the year to get you involved in network. What we value, the third value that we value, is the value of become. God wants to make us something. When he called the children of Israel out of Egypt, he says, I will make you my people. God is making us into something. And so we want to help people become all that God has planned for them to be so that we would grow in our contribution towards the kingdom of God. For me, that means that I belong on a team. I belong on a dream team. And I serve alongside with people where I can not only serve, but I can care. You know, caring best happens in our church organically through our connect groups and through our teams working together and caring for each other. And then I also become, not just by the learning process, but also by contributing, becoming a faithful financial contributor. And then lastly, in terms of our values, what we build, we're here to build something. We're here to focus on building something for God. We want to grow in our influence and grow in our leadership. So we want to become carriers of the culture. We want to become connectors of the culture, connecting people to what God is doing in and through us. So here's the big question. What can I do? Everyone say, what can I do? What can I do? I'm glad you asked that. It's in my notes. What can I do? Here is what I am asking every single one of us to do. Every single one of us, every family, every individual, every young person, every mature age person, this is what I'm asking you to do. Go all in. I'm asking you to go all in. Go into the deep end. I'm asking you to go all in 2018 in a number of areas. Firstly, go all in and pray for your church. I want to ask you to pray for your church. Prayer is our powerhouse. Prayer is our powerhouse. My verse for the day today. I love how verses for the day are so timely. And I get reminders on my phone because of the Bible plan I read on my iPhone. And I get a verse for the day that comes up. And my verse for the day was Psalm 130, verse 5. I will look to the Lord. I will look to the Lord. I will hope in the Lord. I will hope in His words. Do you know that's where we all are called to live? Prayer is our powerhouse and our focus for the things that God wants to do. And so I'm asking you, each one, if we could pray for our leaders and our pastors. Can we do that? Let's go all in and do that. Let's pray for our leaders at all levels and our pastors. Let's pray for our vision. Let's pray for our city and pray for our community and the people that need to come into the kingdom of God and receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ, for people to know God, for people to be saved and set free and established on the pathway of life. Pray for growth. Pray for development. Pray for God's favor. We have several prayer teams that operate in our church. One of them has communication through a Facebook page where we post up needs that people have for prayer. And if you'd like to know more about that, you could come and see me. Come and see me if you would, and I'll let you know more about that if you want to engage in that. Otherwise, we have a pre-service prayer meeting on a Sunday morning that happens in a room at the back of our church. We have a number of faithful prayer warriors that come and pray. If you'd like to be a part of that, come also and see me, and I'll let you know about that so you can be involved in that. We just want people to pray. Go all in and pray for your church. Number two, go all in and protect the unity of your church. Protect the unity of the church. Unity is so important to protect, because when you have unity, you have momentum. When you have strife, life is slowed down. Everything slows down when you have strife. And here's the deal. The enemy always wants to create strife. And so we need to play together. We need to be on the same team together. We need to make sure we're on the same page and on the same bus, traveling in the same direction with the same spirit, doing things the same way, and walking in each other's steps. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, I don't have this verse on screen, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, where he says, I sent Titus to you, and he's talking about sending Titus to the church in Macedonia to raise the funds for the special offering. He said, I sent Titus to you. Why? Because Titus, he posed this question, did Titus rip you off when he came to see you? He said, no, he didn't. And of course he didn't. Why? He says, because he and I have the same spirit. He and I walk in the same steps. And he and I do things the same way. You know, there's great power in that. There's great power in that. If you're a business owner, if you're a manager, if you're a mother or a father or a person in any level of authority at all, in community life or church life, what a beautiful thing it is when the people around your world are in alignment. When they're on the same page, when they do things the same way, when they have the same kind of spirit and the same pattern that you have. There's great power in that. There's great momentum in that, other than someone wanting to run off and do their own thing all the time. Because you've always got to give attention to that and harness that, and you end up ignoring this. Momentum comes by alignment and pulling it together. So unity releases our potential and builds momentum. Whereas strife, when that comes into our life, it steals life and it just slows everything down. Go all in this year and have a giving plan that supports your church. Have a giving plan that supports your church. We have plans for everything else. Some in the room have a retirement plan, superannuation plan, which is obvious, you need that. Some have a health plan. Some have a dental plan. Whatever kind of plan, we have plans for everything. Why not make a financial plan in terms of how you give, so it's not accidental, but it's actually intentional in terms of how you give to the kingdom of God? The Bible teaches very clearly about that. We want to be, and we are, a very generous church, and I commend you for that and thank you for that. But let's not rest. Let's keep pushing in terms of becoming better at what we do. The Bible says bring all. Everyone say all? That's like all in. Bring all. It says be all in terms of bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, into God's house, the place where you're fed, the place where you're nurtured, and the place where you're loved, to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Do you know what a difference it makes when every one of us tithe? When we all play our part individually, it adds up to something significant in terms of what we're able to do as a church. So I want to ask you to plan to be a significant, regular, consistent, generous financial contributor, and to do it purposely as an individual or as a family. I want to share several financial goals we have for this year so you're aware of where we're up to as a church and how we behave financially as a church. For 2018,
our financial budget in terms of our general tithes, that 10% that we designate towards the work of the Lord here at Impact Church. For 2018, our tithe goal is $8,900 every week. That's our average. $8,900 is what we are believing for. The year just gone, 2017, our average weekend offering was $8,882. That was our average for 2017 every weekend. So it means we built our budget with just a minor increase. We've been very conservative in our budget, but we are believing this figure for 2018 of $8,900, that's a bottom line figure for us. We're believing to go ahead like we did last year and do better. That's what we need to open the doors and do everything that we do as a church. And we only do that as each one of us play our part and walk in obedience and honour the Lord with what we do in terms of that. So thank you for what you've done in 2017, and let's make 2018 an all-in year. Let's make it an all-in year. I'm telling you, that's good news. And that's a great result for 2017 for us as a church. Because I've been in seasons where it's gone backwards, and it's hard when it goes backwards. It's hard at home when it goes backwards. And it's the same in church life or business life or any other area. Our second financial goal is a special offering that we take to really just move the vision of our church forward. We do it every year. It's a once-off offering that we ask people to pledge to or give on the day or do a combination of. It's held in October. Now, it's called our legacy offering this year. Last year it was called Gaining Ground. Our legacy offering will be held on the 28th of October. This year we've set our goal at $130,000. That's 130 people giving $1,000 each. That's just a way that we calculate how that could possibly work to give a suggestion. The good news is last year we gave beyond that in terms of our pledge. Last year, I forget what it was, but it was well above that in terms of what was pledged into the life of our church. So once again, we've given a conservative pledge or commitment or level that we're expecting based on the fact that we achieved more than that last year. Out of last year's offering that was pledged already, I think 80-something thousand has come in already. So once again, thank you for what you're doing. And legacy offering this year, in our thoughts, let's plan. That's coming around in October, at the end of October. And let's be all in for what we're doing in terms of that. But here's the big one. Hold off your applause, because here's the big one. Impact Care Services, which is our charitable organisation as a church. I want you all to be aware of it. This is what we do in terms of missions as a church. So anything we do to help people, anything we do to move life forward for people in our community, to be of assistance to different programs, activities, people that are marginalised or doing life hard, as a church, we help out through our charity. Through our charity, we run our food co-op, which sells food to people very, very cheaply. We make no profit on that. All of that is given at cost price virtually to help people within our community who come and buy groceries here during the week. And that's a good deal, and we're so thankful for that. We want to move that forward and other aspects of what we're doing in terms of Impact Care Services this year. So we've not really focused on Impact Care Services in terms of raising significant funds. But this year we want to turn that around. And this year, what I'm hoping to do this year is I'm hoping for us to be able to raise as a church $52,000. $52,000 this year is the goal that we want to raise for Impact Care Services. So what I'm looking for, this is my hope, is that we would have 100 people that would give beyond what they give in terms of tithes, that would make a small commitment. I'm not asking any one person to give the 52. I'm asking for 100 people to say, you know what, I could give $10 a week. I could give $10 a week. So that's $40 a month, or it's, you know, if you do it over the weekly thing, it's $520 a year. So $520 a year, either lump sum or over a monthly period, calculate that out. And so we've created a pledge card today, and these are in front of your seats. I would love for you to take it home. I'd like you to pray about it, and I'd like you to bring it back, and I'd like you to fill out your details and to put the amount that you're feeling to give and how you're going to give it, and then everything that you give each time that's $2 and over is tax deductible. So it's tax deductible. That's a good deal for you, and it's a good deal for us. And here's the thought: this just helps us help people. It helps us help people. I have sat in front of enough people with tears in their eyes, their world falling apart, and I want to be able to say more to them than I'll pray for you. I always say I'll pray for you, and I pray for them on the spot, and I believe for God to do a miracle, but I always want to be part of the miracle. So as a church, with what we've set up through Impact Care Services, we've been able to help people in very practical ways that I can't tell you because it's very personal to the people involved, but we've helped them recover in life to a degree by what we have been able to do for them and with them on their behalf. That's all thanks to you. But we have a very small minority of people in our church that give. And so I'm asking for us all to consider, how can I play my part? And we don't rob from Peter to pay Paul. We don't rob from our tithe. We don't take from there to put there. This is a special above commitment that we make. $10 a week. It's not going to break the bank if you can believe to save that money somehow. Come up with a scheme where you can raise $500. You can sell something. Sell something. You can easily do that. And so please, if you could get on board and go all in. Would you say all in? All in. Fill out your pledge card over the next few weeks and bring it in so we know where we're headed with that. We'll keep talking with you. We'll let you know how much we've raised in terms of that pledge and commitment for the year. The next way that you can help in terms of what we do is go all in and invite people and be a bringer. Let's invite people and be a bringer this year. Can we all be bringers? Can you maybe think of just one person, one family that you might strategically invite along to church this year to invite and invest ourselves into people's lives relationally? Why? Because people are our business. People are our business. The lost, the hurting, the lonely, the dysfunctional, the successful, the significant, the secure. It doesn't matter what their status in life. Everybody needs to belong to Jesus. Everybody believes needs to belong to Jesus. And don't exclude anyone because of where you think they're at in life. You would be surprised who will say yes to Jesus if they're given the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And so be an inviter and bring people to the house of the Lord. Go in, all in, lastly, by being present and participating in our Next Steps pathway. The brochure's in front of you. I referred to it before. Get involved. Get involved in our connection points, our connect groups. Get involved in the classes and the courses that we do to help people be set free in life and be equipped and empowered to live life better. Play your part. Find a part on a team. Serve and care. So here's my big question. What will you do? We ask, what can you do? Now it comes down to, what will you do? What will I do? What will I do with all of that? What will I do with all of that information? What will I do with that vision? What will I do with that sense of value that we have as a church? What will I do with the kind of church that we want to be? The thought is this, as the team come, if they could come to stage now. The thought is, a Christian is who you are individually. That's who we are. Individually, we are Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. But collectively, we are part of the church of Jesus Christ. And there is something powerful and significant in realizing and seeing and expressing your faith as being part of something bigger than ourselves, the church. Something powerful in that, where God puts us together collectively to fulfill a mission, His mission in our world and on this earth. Don't ever underestimate the joy and the significance and the power that we have of doing this journey collectively as the church, where we engage, where we embrace and interact and build together the only thing in this world that Jesus is building. Jesus said, I'm building my church. What will I build? He said, I'm building my church. What will I build in life? What will I be known for in life? What will my response be? What will my purpose? What will my mission be? What will my vision be? What will I do? We're all called to build His church. And the truth is, big things happen when we get involved with God's mission. Big things happen when we go all in. Would you stand to your feet with me, please, right across the hall?
close your eyes if you would, please, just for a moment. My invitation is to go all in. That's my invitation. It's not meaning to imply that you're not all in. And here's the truth. If you're all in, you're not even going to feel like I'm implying you're not all in. If you're all in, you're all in. If you're in the deep end, you know when you're in the deep end of a swimming pool and you got people that are in the shallow end? You're just waving and inviting them in because you want everyone in the deep end. God wants everyone in the deep end. It's an invitation. It's an invitation today to embrace the kind of church we've talked about, to be who we are, to do what God has called us to do it our way, to be united, to make commitments, to align our schedules, to express life and passion in the way we worship and celebrate, to honor God, to have a financial plan that honors God, to do this very intentionally, to not just be a follower of Jesus Christ individually, but to take on my collective responsibility in the family of God, the church. I want to cheer us on this year to do that. I want to cheer us on to do that today. So today I'm putting a call out. And even what we've talked about in terms of our financial goals, and we do that because we want you to know, to have a sense of ownership, to know that your tithe means something, it does something, to know that your mission giving through our charitable organization really does help people's lives in significant ways, that you help us help people. And so please could you pray about your participation in that. 2018, all in. Just let it resonate in your heart. I want to give you an invitation to make a decision to go all in for Jesus Christ. And if you're already there, just cheer yourself on with that. Lay your life down, is what Jesus said. Take up my cross and follow me. Jesus is not following us. We are following him. And he's called us to a high level. Let's be the ones to say, God, I'm going all in this year. You want to make that your prayer? Why don't you lift your hands towards heaven while everyone's got their eyes closed right across this hall right now? Right now. Don't let excuses come into your mind right now. Oh, I can't go all in because of this. I can't say I'm all in because of that or this circumstance or this situation. Let heaven see your hand and your heart and your intent. And I want to pray that God will help every one of us to be all in. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that Jesus didn't come in half measure. He went all the way. He stopped in the garden. He bled as if great drops of blood flowed from his forehead, is what we're told. As he prayed agonizingly over the cross that he was about to bear. And his prayer was this. His prayer was, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, I'm all in, Father. I know the pain I have ahead of me. I know what I'm facing, but I'm prepared to do it. I'm going to go all in for this world and pay the price for every one of them. And so because Jesus, our great example, laid down his life so willingly today, we hear the beckon and the call of heaven to go all in, Father, and our hearts respond to it gladly today and intentionally today. To not live as individual followers, but to live as collective followers of Jesus Christ and be the church. And so our commitment is, God, I'm all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish today.